Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. Any commercial advertising you may hear in this program is of the sole discretion and benefit of the host of this program you are listening to. Revolution Radio does not endorse any commercial products, nor does it accept monetary compensation for on-air advertising of commercial products, nor will it ever. We are and shall remain 100% listener supported. Any product advertising on this program are considered used at higher risk, and Revolution Radio shall not be held liable for any claims or damages received from any product advertised within this program. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
This is Jim Fetzer, your host on The Raw Deal, this 29th day of March, 2024, Good Friday, which in the religion of Christianity honors the crucifixion of Jesus, just as Easter Sunday forthcoming celebrates his resurrection. If I'm lucky, I'm being joined today by John Carman, my regular co-host, former Secret Service customs agents and the like you know well, but also by L.B. Bork, who has a blog called The Jurist, in which he discusses issues of constitutional and international law. And we have some doozies today. Indeed, 2 days ago, I reported how Moon of Alabama was explained that the New York Times was misreporting the UN Security Council resolution demanding that Israel cease fire, demanding the release of all hostages, demanding the parties comply with their obligations under international law. But the New York Times merely said that the Security Council had called for an immediate ceasefire, called for the release of information. The resolution, which passed yesterday on a 14-0 vote with the U.S. abstaining, does not call upon Israel or Hamas to do this or that. It demands them to do these things. If the Security Council merely called upon someone to do something, it's the legal equivalent of saying, pretty please, it has no real consequences. Under international law, however, what has taken place here, the demand is legally binding. And a violation thereof is a violation of international law, of the UN Charter, and is a crime against humanity. So, what we have yesterday, Moon of Alabama updating at the UN, it is a rogue U.S. against the rest of the world. Ted Snyder asks, is America a rogue superpower? Unipolar used to mean the U.S. was, at least in theory, alone in leading the world. Now, unipolar means the United States is alone and isolated in opposition to the world. Snyder refers to the recent UN Security Council resolution 2728, which demands a ceasefire in Gaza and demands a release of hostages and demands the unhindered supply of food and other items to Gaza. The U.S. has claimed, that's the American government, falsely, that the resolution is not binding. As Snyder writes, On March 25th, the U.S. went one step further and took a step toward becoming a rogue state, supplanting international law with its rule-based order. International law is grounded in the charter system and the United Nations and is universally applicable. The rules-based order is comprised of unwritten laws whose source, consent, and legitimacy are unknown to the global majority. Those unwritten laws have the appearance of being invoked when they benefit the U.S. and its partners and of being not being invoked when they don't. On March 25th, the Security Council passed a resolution demanding an immediate ceasefire for the month of Ramadan to be respected by all parties, leading to a lasting, sustainable ceasefire. The resolution was able to pass because the U.S. stood aside and let the other 14 Security Council members pass it by abstaining instead of vetoing. But in her explanation of the American abstention after the resolution passed, U.S. Ambassador to the U.N. Linda Thomas Greenfield surprisingly said, "We fully support some of the critical objectives to this non-binding resolution. We fully support some of the critical objectives in this non-binding resolution." Her claim that the Security Council resolution was non-binding was not off script or an impromptu comment. It is the strategy of a country that reinforces not international law. Not international law. But the U.S.-led rules-based order. This is very, very bad. Arnold Bertrand has added a similar thought. Since the beginning, it's been obvious that Gaza was in many ways a fight between international law and the U.S. rules-based order. This whole episode around the U.N. resolution is a perfect illustration thereof. There is no debate among international law scholars that resolutions by the Security Council that demand certain actions are binding. Good explanation by a legal scholar here is cited. In fact, resolutions by the Council are international law. Article 25 of the UN Charter clearly states, "The members of the United Nations agree to accept and carry out the decisions of the Security Council in accordance with the present charter." Yet the U.S. now argues that the rule is in fact different. It's a non-binding resolution, so there's no impact on Israel at all. Or alternatively, yes, these decisions are binding except when it involves Israel. Where is this rule written that somehow when the Security Council demands an immediate ceasefire for the month of Ramadan, respected by all parties leading to a lasting, sustainable ceasefire, it's non-binding and there's no impact at all on the warring party? Nowhere. That's the beauty of the rules-based order. The rules are made up in the moment of the interest of the U.S. and its henchmen, depending on the circumstances. The big issue here is that the whole world, literally, the whole world, disagrees with the United States. 4 out of 5 permanent members of the Security Council, including 2 major U.S. allies, all of its non-permanent members, and the U.N. Secretary General have explicitly said U.N. Security Council Resolution 2728 is binding. The U.S., perhaps some of its minor proxies, is the only state that publicly disputes this. What's going on here, in effect, is that the international law established post-World War II, where the United States took a leading role, creating the United Nations and its charter, to which all member states agree to adhere, is now destroying the United States, turning itself into a rogue nation. And the consequences are going to be calamitous. I mentioned my special guest today, L.B. Bork. He is now here, and that he has a blog on constitutional and international law issues. L.B., I'm fascinated to get your take here, because this seems to me to be about the most consequential development related to international law since World War II. Your thoughts?
Yeah.
Good morning, people. Good morning, Jim. Thanks for having me.
Yes.
I guess you could say that the United States, like you just said, formed the United Nations and helped Israel
on its way. I'm actually doing a radio show now. I'll call you back. I'll call you. Thank you.
Go ahead, LB. Yeah, go ahead.
So it's my opinion that the United States is the first country to support the New World Order. It is the New World Order. That's why we've seen the United States and so many countries making sure things happen the way the United States thought it should. But as we know by what you just read, it's being turned around right now. I think Israel, during World War II, was brought to existence because the United States and the New World Order. I think Israel is the New World Order. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I think that's a pretty close approximation. I mean, it's a Rothschild empire, it seemed to me, that is behind it all, with their vast resources controlling virtually every financial system worldwide, and that Israel is their representative.
Mm-hmm.
But the fact is that making Israel an exception to international law means there is no international law. There are a group of law-abiding nations, and then there are the rogue nations of the United States and Israel. And in my opinion, LB, this is a calamity for the world. I would call this the legal equivalent of the Samson option, where we all know Israel, and this has been the case at least since Golda Meir was prime minister, had a plan that if Israel were going to go down as a nation, they were going to take the rest of the world with them by having nuclear devices in the capitals of major European nations and in multiple cities in the United States. Mm-hmm. So that, you know, like Samson pulled down the temple around himself, Israel would pull down the world around itself. And I think this is the legal equivalent. Would you agree to the analogy or any thoughts of yours?
Yeah, well, the jus gentium is the law of nations. It's justice for the nations is what it means. And Israel is kind of always, or the so-called Jews have always been exempt from that, or not part of that. And they think they controlled everything, all the nations, out of the Bible, which is not proper. That's not correct. But that's the reason why you're seeing, Israel not counted in the law of nations. They've always been omitted from that. They rule the world, is what they believe. And they control all the nations. All the land and everything is theirs. And they've done this through the Communist Manifesto, which is basically a war against the world. The United States was the first successful implementation of the Communist Manifesto. Many people don't know that because of the disinformation that's been put out. Of course, that happened during the Civil War. So, United States has been the puppet for the synagogue of Satan, as they call it, for, 150 plus years. And it started off with that position, too, under the Constitution and the separation. I believe the Revolutionary War was plan to separate the United States from the British Empire. It never really separated. Everything's still pretty much in place, especially through the law system. And I think probably a lot of games are being played right now, mind-type games, with Trump and all what's going on with the woke awake. I call it a dog and pony show. That's all planned opposition. So it's a deep mess, a hot mess, as I call it.
Yes, 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 yes. Tell me, what do you think are going to be the consequences for the United Nations? It seems to me we have really a sabotaging of the United Nations. Among the points that follow here, it seems to me, the United States is not in charge of its own government. It is Israel who is running the shop right here in the USA.
Correct.
This is such an unconscionable act and would not be undertaken for any other reason than to benefit Israel. Israel doesn't care about the international order. In fact, Israel has long since, as you were observing, regarded itself as the exception to the rule.
Right.
That all other nations have to obey, but not Israel,
right?
Which I have many times explained, I believe, is rooted in a Talmudic belief in Jewish superiority, that the Jews are superior to every other race, which only exists to serve the Jews, that Jews are entitled to lie, cheat, steal, rape, right, even murder the goyim, the non-Jew, with impunity. And that, alas, while there are many Jews who are not so disposed, not right, zealous fanatics, Zionist fanatics, that unfortunately the Zionist fanatics are those who have been in control. Your thoughts?
Well, it all roots into Deuteronomy of the Bible. The Israelites were supposed to obey God. And there's something in Deuteronomy that said that they would rule the world based on them following natural law or the law of God. And they did what was in their covenant. But the Israelites lost their land, you know, back before, I forget what year it was, 1200 BC maybe.
That doesn't mean anything, John.
Are you still with me, or was that a question?
Go ahead. John Carman was calling, trying to get on to join us.
Oh, okay.
So seeking to arrange that to happen. Go ahead.
Well, my point is the Jews and the Israelites are two different entities. Like you pointed out, the Talmud is, and Judaism is what they follow. They say they follow the Bible or the Old Testament, but they really don't. They've lifted that information that said they'll rule the world based on following God's position, or, you know, a good position and natural law, treat your neighbor good and all this. But they've stolen that and under the Talmudic Jews, and they're dictating and creating chaos and stealing over what the covenant provided. So as the Talmudic Jewish faction, they're not true Israelites. And there's recognition that the Israelites and the Jews are two different entities. But, of course, there's the Judeo-Christians, which was formed in 1847, the year before the Communist Manifesto came into existence, that, you know, they've got all the Christians fooled, especially American Christians. I mean, the real Christians came over to the United States to escape the church, which was infiltrated, you know, since its inception, basically. Just like the Constitution was infiltrated, or American government was infiltrated early on.
I'm pleased that John has been able to join us now. And John, if you have picked up on our discussion, Moon of Alabama pointed out 2 days ago that the New York Times was misrepresenting the import of the UN Security Council resolution demanding a ceasefire, demanding the release of the hostage, and demanding humanitarian aid to the Palestinians by saying it was merely calling for all of the above, when merely calling for has no legal consequences. It's the equivalent of saying, pretty please. And that what's going on here is that the U.S. at the United Nations has now become a rogue state because it's asserting that these demands from the United Nations, which are recognized under international law as being international law, are non-binding. And this, in effect, as I see it, and LB agrees, is sabotaging international law for the sake of what Moon calls rules-based order, which is whatever the United States says is good, and where Israel appears to be, of course, the prime mover behind it. Thus, I'm suggesting to LB, what this also reflects is that we don't have an American government. We have an Israeli government. Thus, you know, sometimes one says the United States of Israel, well, I think it has never been more manifest and apparent than here and now. Your thoughts, John?
Yeah, how true that sounds, and I agree with you. Now, remember, I was Secret Service, and I also worked at the border, so I've worked international law on the enforcement side, protecting embassies, Washington, D.C., and at the White House, of course, but a lot of people don't kind of get that connection. And I had a diplomatic status when I was at the border at U.S. Customs, because I actually worked in a foreign country and that kind of thing. I was thinking while you were talking, I did catch most of the first part of the show. It was just a difficulty, technical thing trying to get through on this thing. But the thing is, remember the Nuremberg trials?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Think about that. They put on a show. It was a dog and pony show. They caught, 19 Nazis. A lot of the big guys, and the last guy to get out was I'm going to get bad on names. They killed off, Himmler got caught, Fatso Goring got killed, he had a cyanide capsule. Why are these guys getting these things smuggled in? They were supposedly searched. Another one killed himself, so that's at least three suicides before the other guy. And then you got the second in command that was in Spandau prison. And as soon as he died, they opened up a parking lot in a mall in that area. But what I'm saying is, it's a show. They're doing stuff behind the scenes. We had Operation Paperclip behind the scenes. We were bringing Nazis into the country and other places just to put on a show, give them their trial and execute them. That's what they did. Give them their fair trial and then kill them. So I see the same pattern.
But John, how does that impact on the U.S. sabotaging international law by effectively contradicting the U.N. Charter when it was a moving force behind the establishment of the United Nations, which was supposed to be the greatest hope for world peace, and now the United States is bringing it down?
Yes, exactly. I agree with you, Jim, because it's a pattern. I'm looking at the patterns. They're pulling away from those things, and nobody enforces it. And without our vote, the top 10 or top group of world leaders, nuclear, then they're not going to do anything. They're going to follow suit with us. If we abstain from a vote, I'm not sure how that works on the National Security Council, but sometimes they can do it with a full vote. They have to have a full contingency of all the votes, unanimous. And then if they don't, then that'll screw up the whole thing. They won't do anything. That means resources and billions of dollars in American lives. That's what that means.
John, look, the resolution passed. It is international law. It demands a ceasefire. It demands the release of hostages. It demands humanitarian aid, including food. You got millions of people who are starving to death in Israel, and the United States is standing by and doing nothing about it. Now, this to me is an utter catastrophe. Right. LB, I want to know, LB, what does this mean for the United Nations moving forward? It seems to me it's a shambles that you might as well have destroyed it as thoroughly as the Twin Towers were destroyed on 9/11. Your thoughts?
Look at Putin. Putin sent food and resources down there, and they were jumping all over him for doing that too. See? So they're planning stuff behind the scenes. I agree with what you're saying.
LB.
Yeah. I have to agree with this.
What does this mean for the United Nations? Yeah.
Well, I think they're, you know, they were created to monitor the New World Order. But like we've said, the United States has always been in control of the, some people call them the Khazarian Mafia.
Yeah.
There was a Jewish ambassador, Morgenthau, during the 1920s, who said, America is our Zion, right, which is their kingdom. And that was before Hitler, you know, or Germany even was involved in taking over. And when Israel was founded in 1948, you know, so they already thought they had their Zion or their puppet government with the United States at that time. So he was arguing, I guess at the time, that we don't need Israel because America is ours to control everything. So it's still going through, and Israel and the United States are one as far as I can see. You might have two factions that are fighting right now as far as, you know, who's really in control.
Can I interject?
Go ahead.
What you said about the Khazarian Jews, Ashkenazis, and all those guys, I believe in that. We're talking at a lower level because of the knowledge we have at certain levels, like international, foreign countries and all that. But we've got trillionaires that are way above. You've heard the Ashkenazis, the Khazarians. They've got the Committee of 300. They've got the elders. Then it gets into other people who are trillionaires. And Jacob Rothschild just passed away a couple of weeks ago. Those people start the wars. So,
all right, John and LB, hold your breath. We'll be right back after this break to continue this discussion of international law and the destruction of the United Nations by the United States of America.
Radio at freedomslips.com, and we'll be right back after this message.
Management would like to take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio.
Hey everyone, it's Barbara Jean Lindsay, the Cosmic Oracle. If you have questions about your past lives or future plans, need answers from the cosmos about your love life or career, or just want to keep your finger on the pulse of the planet, check out my show, The Cosmic Oracle, here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com.
Join Revolution Radio every Wednesday, 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Well, John and I are delighted to be joined today by L.B. Bork, who has a blog, The Jurist, devoted to issues of constitutional and international law. Now, get this. The United States is the only state that publicly disputes that this is a binding resolution. Bertrand points out this will have huge consequences. There's no overstating how consequential this is for the integrity of international relations. By doing so, the U.S. effectively destroys a world order it largely created after World War II, because it effectively tells everyone that the set of institutions, rules, and norms that underpin it are meaningless. We're now effectively in a world system where everyone realizes the police, the government, basic set of beliefs have become completely corrupted. This changes everything. So what comes next? I think there's no coming back for the U.S., and I think they know this. Maybe unconsciously otherwise, they would at least pretend to act for the better good of all. The fact they don't show these effectively abdicated ambitions to restore their hegemony. They're now nakedly in it to milk the system for themselves. Universal pretensions have gone. He observes, too, that this is not the only institution of the United Nations that U.S. has sought to destroy after having largely creating it, including the World Trade Organization, where the U.S. is now using protectionism, subsidies, and tariffs, which are clearly illegal under the WTO rules it had previously agreed to, but as it has managed without having any serious argument to destroy the WTO's court, there's no longer a direct way it can be penalized for it. The stakes, however, are much higher when it comes to matters of peace and war waged with the intent of genocide. Bertrand concludes, most countries don't want to live in and eat or get eaten. Might makes right world without rules or norms. So in time, a new system will arise. The biggest unknowns being, can it arise without major global war? Who will lead the construction of its foundations? And how can it be set up so that this time around it is fair for all and respected by all? LB, I mean, I think the United States has sold out. I mean, this is outrageous, and allowed Israel to call all the shots here as an exception to every rule, every moral, every legal rule known to mankind. Your thoughts?
I agree. I think, my hope has been the people of America. John talked about upper echelon of people. The upper echelon of people are the people that control things, like Biden, for example. He's just a puppet of the Zionist faction. But I'm convinced that a lot of the lower people in government don't know what's going on, and they just follow the lead of what's happening and what they're told to do and think and do, you know. So my goal for the last 25 plus years has been to try to educate Americans to what's happened and who they truly are, so we can fix this thing. And, we don't need the world governments mad at us, and that's the problem. And, you know, we're the fall guys, so to speak, for this whole damn mess. And as we see, you know, we're the only people that are fronted for this mess. You know, we're being fronted, and we're going to be on the chopping block, which is very unfortunate. And we've been on the chopping block for a while. All these immigrants that are being brought in are retaliation for probably us waking up, because it's inevitable that people are going to wake up. You know, since the internet's come about, they've lost control of free speech, or, you know, their control mechanisms, is my opinion on this. I think social media worldwide, you know, like, of course, Twitter and TikTok, which is run by the Chinese, supposedly, it's all part and parcel of the Zionist control of the internet.
Yes, yes, yes. And, of course, the United States is now going after a special rapporteur who was responsible for investigating genocide and who established that Israel has satisfied at least three of the criteria for genocide. The U.S. is now trying to smear her. Here's a report. Check this out.
Dedicating months' worth of journalistic resources to investigating whether powerless college kids have opinions slightly outside of mainstream acceptability, the U.N. Special Rapporteur for Human Rights in Palestine was engaged in what one might reasonably say was a slightly more pressing endeavor, reporting on whether Israel is in fact committing genocide against the Palestinian people. Here is Francesca Albanese explaining her task.
Following nearly 6 months of unrelenting Israeli assault on occupied Gaza, it is my solemn duty to report on the worst of what humanity is capable of and to present my finding, the anatomy of a genocide. History teaches us that genocide is a process, not a single act. It starts with the dehumanization of a group as other and the denial of that group's humanity, and ends with the destruction of the group in whole or in part. The dehumanization of Palestinians as a group is the hallmark of their history of ethnic cleansing, dispossession, and apartheid. In the words of Edward Said, Palestinians were made orphans of a homeland by the creation of the State of Israel and its continuous policies, intended to erase their presence from their land. Genocide is defined in international law as specific sets of acts committed with intent to destroy in whole or in part a national, ethnical, racial, or religious group as such. It is often referred to as the crime of crimes due to its complexity and because of the challenge of proving the specific intent as the convention requires. And yet, this complexity is not about the creation of a hierarchy among atrocity crimes. It's rather a reflection of a different nature and scale. The heightened threshold for intent, namely to destroy a group as prescribed by Article 2 of the Genocide Convention, must be proven directly or inferred from facts which admit of no other reasonable inference. But when genocidal intent is so conspicuous, so ostentatious as it is in Gaza, we cannot avert our eyes. We must confront genocide. We must prevent it, and we must punish it.
I hope you really took that in. Here we have Albanese. She's a human rights lawyer hired by the UN Human Rights Council to provide analysis. She is telling them in no uncertain terms that there are, quote, reasonable grounds to believe that Israel is, in fact, committing genocide. The viewpoint maligned as fringe and hysterical by the U.S. media is now finding widespread validation among everyone from UN-hired experts to the International Court of Justice to a majority of Biden 2020 voters to cultural figures like Joe Rogan, as we showed you earlier. And as time passes and awareness of what has already unfolded seeps in, the truth is only going to become more undeniable, which is why when questioned about this report, U.S. State Department spokesperson Matt Miller reacted in the most predictable way possible. Rather than engaging with the compelling facts of the report, he smeared its author as an anti-Semite.
Let me ask you, did you see or read the report made by Francesca Albanese yesterday in Geneva, what she showed was irrefutable, as far as she's concerned, irrefutable evidence that Israel engaged and genocide. Did you see the report? What is your comment?
I did see the report. Let me say a couple things about it. First, we have for a longstanding period of time opposed the mandate of this special rapporteur, which we believe is not productive. And when it comes to the individual who holds that position, I can't help but note a history of anti-Semitic comments that she has made that have been reported.
She made anti-Semitic comments?
She has. And comments she made in December that appeared to justify the attacks of October 7th. So I think it's important to take that into account. But with respect to the report itself, we have made clear that we believe that allegations of genocide are unfounded. But at the same time, we are deeply concerned by the number of civilian casualties in Gaza, and that's why we have pressed the government of Israel on multiple occasions to do everything it can to minimize those civilian casualties.
Yeah, no, she's been getting a lot of death threats and other threats and so on, you know, because people think she made anti-Semitic comments and so on. Let me just go over to another topic.
Make a comment like that without letting me respond. Obviously, death threats against anyone are inappropriate.
Okay.
Of course. Francesca Albanese has not made anti-Semitic comments. It's a baseless smear. She has, though, been critical of Israel and is now offering compelling evidence and analysis of grave crimes, which directly implicate the United States and Matt Miller himself. His nasty response there is an indication of how significant this report actually is. It's especially impactful for three key reasons. First, because of the clarity and analytical precision with which it is written. Second, because as a report by UN hired expert delivered for the benefit of that body, it may carry special weight with the International Court of Justice itself, a UN body. And finally, because it calls for specific actions to be taken by UN member states, including or perhaps especially the United States of America. Now, let's start with some of the details from the report, which led Albanese to her dramatic conclusion.
We don't have to go into the details. We've seen it 24/7. We've had leaders of Israel, from the president to the prime minister to the head of the defense forces and many, many others, declare the purpose is to wipe Palestinians off the map of Palestine, to seize the land for Israel, which they believe they are entitled to as a chosen people. LB, it seems to me, this is as shameless and embarrassing and despicable a statement as America has ever made, coming from that representative of the Department of State. I am, frankly, as an American citizen, embarrassed and ashamed that we're adopting such a clearly irresponsible, self-serving stance. Your thoughts, LB.
I agree. Like I said, these people in government are just totally brainwashed. And it's very unfortunate. Like I said, I've been trying to wake people up for 25 years. I took the lead of Jack McLam he came up with Operation Vampire Killer 2000, which we've been into the New World Order by these people, you know, and implemented by these people since 2000. So we're 24 years into this, and it's just getting worse. And right now, I think they're a cornered rabid dog. And they're striking back. That's why they're these, you know, bringing all these foreigners in to the United States right now to just dilute what the United States once was. And so it's going to be impossible to fix. But yeah, the genocide is done to America. You know, they did it to America. Americans don't understand it. Of course, my blog goes into it in depth. And my book covers the international law that was usurped under the 14th Amendment. Like I said, the Civil War was the turning point based on the Communist Manifesto for America. Of course, they've covered that up, too. And they progressively, over the last 150 years, destroyed the law systems that used to exist in America under, the true Christian faith that came here to America to escape the church. Of course, the church is all part of this also.
LB, I want to return to your book by and by as we proceed. John, your thoughts. John, you're muted.
I was on another part of the page sending a message there. I was going to say to say Mr. Bork's book, please. But as far as what was just said, I was recounting the protection detail at the White House with Anwar Sadat, Menachem Begin, Anwar Sadat from Egypt, Menachem Begin from Israel, and Jimmy Carter. And after the peace talks in 77 in a remote part of the White House, which was not exposed to the West Wing or people walking around, I was the only one there, but he was killed later. Anwar Sadat was assassinated in 81 right after that. So if I remember my dates right, and I forget what happened to Menachem, but every time they go to a peace talk situation to try to fix things so that they could get the people in Gaza Strip to go to a part of Egypt, just one little section of Egypt, they could have their own land over in that area or at least get out of Gaza, which is what was prevented just recently. You saw it live. So that means those people had no place to go. It is a genocide. That's exactly that. And then the Clintons invited Yasser Arafat and made him look like a hero when they invited him to the White House years later, back in his time frame in the 90s.
Very good, John. Meanwhile, as RT is reporting, Trump tells Israel it made a big mistake. Images of bombed buildings have turned the world against Prime Minister Netanyahu's war, the ex-president has declared. Former U.S. President Donald Trump has warned that Israel is losing a lot of support and must finish up its war in Gaza before its reputation declines any further. The comments represent a rare moment of criticism of the Jewish state by Trump. In an interview with Israel Hayom, partially published on Monday, Trump said that he would have acted very much the same way as you did if the U.S. were attacked like Israel was by Hamas on October. Only a fool would not do that, Trump added. However, he called Israel's wholesale destruction of civilian homes in Gaza a very big mistake. It's a very bad picture for the world. The world is seeing this every night. I would watch buildings pour down on people, Trump continued. Go and do what you have to do, but you don't do that, he told the Israeli newspaper. And I think that's one of the reasons there's been a lot of kickback. If people didn't see that every night, right, I'd watch in every single one of those. And I think Israel wanted to show its top, but sometimes you shouldn't be doing that. Frankly, it's not clear whether he's just suggesting that publicizing what they were doing was the problem, not what they're doing. LB, your interpretation.
Well, they always, my next article is going to be ruled by forked tongue. So these guys say things that they don't mean, or they're trying to hide the truth with it. Always. I look at, everything that goes on as a dog and pony show. We really don't know what they have up there. Well, I have an idea what they have up their sleeve, but it's hard to know what they're going to do, because if we push back, they have to change their direction. I'm convinced of that. I've seen it happen with my work over the last 25 years. And they just put out more disinformation is what they do to guide the masses to believe what their narrative is, you know. And it's unfortunate.
I've been very troubled that Trump hasn't been denouncing the genocide, and I don't see this as a denouncement, frankly. I see this as saying Israel made a mistake by letting it be so widely publicized. I don't see him damning genocide here, which affects me profoundly, because I've had a lot of belief. I've invested a lot of time and effort in supporting this man. Compared to the alternative, he's still going to be our best bet, but it really will be a case of the choosing the lesser of two evils. I mean, a Biden admin, nothing could be more corrupt or worse for the United States, but I wish I believed Trump would be more than marginally better, LB.
I've thought that for a while, but I think he's just part of the problem, to be honest. It's a Zionist dog and pony show. You know, good cop, bad cop type situation is going on right now, is what I believe. But
John, go ahead.
Hopefully I'm wrong.
John.
No, I'm listening carefully because I have the same agreement. A lot of people don't want to do what's unpopular, and I'm a whistleblower.
Right.
So I reported corruption. I did the job, and I got penalized for it. But when I hear the profiles, that's what I did for a living. See, people don't understand. I profiled for a living. I'm very damn good at it. And even when Trump is going around, I was accused by my ex-Secret Service buddies in Florida, oh, he's a narcissist and all that. Well, yeah, I get that. But you follow what he does, who he helps, and he's worth over $5 billion, and there's all these other issues I could bring in where they arrest these guys like Chapo Guzman, who works for the CIA. He's worth $250 billion plus. That guy could buy a country, literally. And yet we're playing the game all over again. Well, the election didn't work out. Dominion servers were corrupt. Why didn't they do the Insurrection Act? Why didn't they take action? Mike Flynn's talking about one thing, and they wasted time. Now we're going through another cycle, and we have to suffer for four more years or up to one more. And there's nobody running, basically, except Bobby Kennedy Jr., and this new vice president female, who's like a second-generation immigrant. They did the same thing in other countries like South America. They'll bring in immigrants, run for president, and have a Japanese guy run in Argentina or Peru or whatever. That's an actual example. But eventually they'll do the same thing like Uncle Adolf did in Germany. They crowd the house with nothing but the NDSP. It's the same thing what Biden's doing right now to get all the Democrats. Oh, you're Haitian. No problem. Register for Democrat. Here's your $5,000 a month, your free rent, a brand new car, and the guy's delivering water from Walmart for 10 bucks a shot. They've got money. I haven't heard about the cutoff, but they said something like 6 months. But if you don't pay these people to live, they're going to be in the streets with their machetes. We're going to have an inside insurrection like the Trojan horse. Go ahead. Yes.
Oh, I believe that. I think this invading horde is going to wreak death and devastation on Americans. I think that's why they are here. The very idea of simply diluting the gene pool is a secondary or even tertiary consideration. You know, secondary might be voting Democrat. Biden's going all out to buy votes. The student loan giveaway is an obvious effort to buy votes of young people. I don't think it's ultimately going to work. Let me just add, by the way, as a note to a comment you made earlier, John, about Hitler. I believe, in fact, the weight of the evidence supports that he actually escaped to Argentina and lived out his years there and then died a peaceful death.
Bear-watch Argentina.
Yeah, LB, can give us further thoughts of yours.
I agree with what you said, but people don't know my work, and it's been, you know, they denied it for 25 years. It's a crime to vote, and that's how they've controlled people through the court systems. They're voting against the Constitution and voting for an alternate state under Article 4, Section 3 of the Constitution. The Republican form of government's been destroyed by the Civil War and what they've done with Reconstruction. You know, the church had Reformation and the United States had Reconstruction. It's all the same progressive plan to control everything. And like I said a few minutes ago, the church is the vehicle for the Christian faction in the world. So that's all run by the Zionist types too. And John forgot to mention the Club of Rome also that was formed in the 1970s, I believe, that they're the upper echelon of people that are controlling things. And Switzerland is where all this comes out of. It's a neutral state and supposedly the world to do everything. That's where they hide all their money and whatnot to Swiss bank accounts and whatnot. You know, they've done it for years. We can go on and on about all this, you know.
That's an interesting comment because I ran into a guy that was in prison, a black guy, and he did some sort of fraud, and he was worth like $10 million or something. So he spent 2 years in prison, probably 18 months, and he told this guy, now I have a reliable source, that as soon as he got out, he was going to go to Switzerland. He was going to change his name, get a passport. You don't see many black guys in Switzerland, by the way.
Right.
And I know another scam by an ex-Marine. Sorry, Jim. There are a few bad ones in there somewhere, but I know a lot of good ones like Jim. He's a good man. But he was with this white woman, and they scammed people. I had a client at that time, over $100,000, pretending to have a special device so he could activate it on the NASDAQ and win money. He would fly to Paris or France, over where a buddy of mine's over in France right now, Nick Mancuso, and the guy would get up to the border and just cross into the border and deposit the money. So he's already building a background to fly to Switzerland. So anybody can go get a deal, but the Nazi Germany and all that other stuff, they've still got tons and tons and tons of gold that they've never recovered. A lot of it even ended up on the East Coast of the United States. So it kind of ties in, but it does. It's all tied in. They're all doing the shell game. Oh, look over here. Look over there. It's this. It's that. Get back to work. Use tax slave you. And all these other guys at the top are enjoying real life, pure food, pure water, and enjoying what everybody else should be enjoying. And I've been told this by other friends of mine that were into these, tax things, covers, and Social Security. I don't even collect Social Security because I'm a bad whistleblower. I'm such a bad person. You know what I mean? They're after me. So, but they're claiming all this stuff goes on. They could give every American $5,000, $10,000 a month to live off of, a house, a home, a car, whatever. And yet Biden's giving it away. So if you're on the list, and I get the opposite response from the Democrats when I go to the state assembly persons asking for welfare. I'm on food stamps. That's just to give you a personal example. They block me out. Oh, you were a federal employee. You don't deserve that. Well, wait a minute. I lived in California. I paid state taxes as well, and I arrested state violators, murderers, robbers, rapists, children smuggling, and pedophiles. And I even testified in state cases. And I can't get welfare in this state. See what I mean?
Stand by. We're hitting another break, and we'll be right back with our special guest, L.B. Bork, the jurist. Don't want to miss this.
Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
Was it a conspiracy? Did you know that the police in Boston were broadcasting, "This is a drill, this is a drill," on bullhorns during the marathon? That the Boston Globe was tweeting that a demonstration bomb would be set off during the marathon for the benefit of bomb squad activities? And that one would be set off in 1 minute in front of the library, which happened as the Globe had announced. Peering through the smoke, you could see bodies with missing arms and legs. But there was no blood. The blood only showed up later and came out of a tube. They used amputee actors and a studio-quality smoke machine. Don't let yourself be played. Check out "And Nobody Died in Boston Either." Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
If you think for 1 second that the Capitol will ever treat us fairly, you are lying to yourselves. Because we know who they are and what they do. This is what they do, and we must fight back. You can torture us and bomb us. Fire is catching. And if we burn, you burn with us.
Good evening.
Are you awake yet? I hope. We've tried and we've tried for years and years to use passive resistance and loud voices to make a change. The time is over. Your governments around the world have no other goal than to decimate your entire existence at the hands of the bankers and the elites. The war
is coming. And it's your choice to decide if you want to be a warrior or a victim. Denial is not a choice anymore. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Not giving up. Revolution Radio.
It is no secret that the so-called mainstream media is best described as controlled propaganda. Countless news stories are either totally ignored or spun with half-truths, and because of this, essential facts and vital information are often compromised. Join Dr. Ott every Friday night on Studio B at 10 p.m. Eastern and learn why The Story Behind the Story was nominated for a Peabody Award in its second year of producing unparalleled broadcasting excellence in 1997. That is, if you really care about learning the truth.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates. You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Well, Alan Dershowitz and Jonathan Turley are among our nation's most notable and distinguished constitutional experts. And here we have Dershowitz, who, of course, is Jewish, explained to Newsmax that Joe Lieberman, who is a very pro-Israel senator from Connecticut, now departed this earth, and his last words were warnings to anti-Israel Democrats that they were going to lose a Jewish vote if they were critical of Israel. Get this. Late political giant Joe Lieberman was working until the last day of his life on a joint statement warning Democrats they would not be able to count on Jewish votes if they abandoned Israel. Harvard Law Professor Emeritus Alan Dershowitz, who was involved in the statement, told Newsmax Thursday. This is probably the last thing he ever wrote, Dershowitz told Newsmax, showing the document. These are his handwriting interlineation just 2 or 3 hours before he fell and then died. Dershowitz shared the document in Thursday's Wall Street Journal a day after Lieberman, 82, died from complications after a fall in his home. Now, my point is, he's putting the Democrat Party ahead of truth. He's putting the Jewish state of Israel ahead of justice. This is a despicable remark from Alan Dershowitz. I have admired the guy in the past long since. I loved his commentaries on the O.J. Simpson case. He was a part of the Dream Team, of course. And that was when Geraldo Rivera was doing something worthwhile with his life by running this show that was dealing with all the fringe issues that the mainstream media wouldn't address and brought together legal experts to talk about every aspect of the OJ trial. I sacrificed a whole sabbatical watching the OJ trial. And I mean, remarkably enough, I didn't have to suffer a penalty. I was actually given a promotion that very year to be among the first 10 of the distinguished McKnight University professors, a new rank created by the University of Minnesota to recognize faculty who had contributed to enhance the international reputation of the University of Minnesota. And to my knowledge, I am the only one not actually on the Twin Cities campus to have received that accolade. But while Dershowitz was wonderful then, I find this despicable. LB, your thoughts?
information obtained will be used for that purpose.
Sorry.
Please press.
Sorry. LB.
Yeah, just a minute. I got a call coming in, and it's annoying
sure.
me.
Sorry,
Gary.
We all know how this goes. Go ahead. John, well, LB is preoccupied. Your thoughts.
Sure,
I think
no
Dershowitz is.
Hey, I know what? Alan Dershowitz. I've actually spoken to him. He's a real sharp guy. You know, I measure humans on a certain level, and he's up at the 98th percentile, no problem. But like you said, you may be indicating some other issues that are going on. But I keep thinking about Zorro Ranch in Albuquerque, New Mexico, and Ehud Barak, who was taking trips out there to some ranch via a la Jeff Epstein stuff. But, you know, don't get too distracted. I had a Jewish or Hebrew professor in college up at China Lake Ridgecrest when I was in first year of college. I took business law because it was the only law class I had, and Eastern religions. But I study this stuff on the side all the time. I'm always monitoring this stuff, so I have a worldly picture of all kinds of angles on these things because I protected the Israeli embassy and people like that. But I keep seeing these patterns. It's the same pattern, you know, and I'm 70 years old. I keep seeing the same things. Nothing's changing. It's the same scams. So we're still falling for the same things while these other people are raking in the money, you know, like look at that building behind me on my screenshot thing or whatever, back screen. It's like, okay, now it's your turn. When the Democrats get in, they go in and they steal and take whatever. Then when the Republicans get in, it has to happen. People are doing it. But yet the Democrats, like an earlier comment that was made was that Trump's background and staff were the rhinos and the embedded people from before. Look at the Vindman brothers. And then I'm not sure about John Kelly. He got fired. And then Mad Dog Mattis, I'm sorry, Mr. Chaos. I like him. He was a really good Marine, you know. And yet a lot of these guys are embedded everywhere. Nothing ever happened to Hillary, you know. So it's the same thing, recycling over and over. Because it keeps working, like for the Clintons to keep blaming Russia. Look over there, it's Russia. No, it's not. In fact, there was another guy. I'm not sure if you're familiar with Greg Reese. He supposedly went over to Russia sure. in the last month.
Reese is a brilliant guy. I love his videos. Yeah, sure. Well, let me just say, I think this Dershowitz, you know, using Lieberman to remind the Democrats that if they don't support Israel, they're going to lose a Jewish vote, would be like a drug lord, you know, explained that if they continue to pass these anti-drug laws, they're going to lose the vote of MS-13. I mean, Israel is committing genocide. And here you have Dershowitz saying Democrats should worry about losing the Jewish vote if they don't support genocide. John, this is repulsive, just to me, completely repulsive. And in my everything I've ever thought favorable about Alan Dershowitz is compromised by this position he's adopting now in the face of overwhelming proof of genocide by Israel.
Well, a lot of people don't have contacts all over the world. I've got contacts in a few places and in Israel, in Jerusalem area. I know an American guy who's over there, and he's a American Jew, and he gets along with the Palestinians in his neighborhood. But the problem is a lot of people don't stay in touch, and if you talk to people in Israel about American politics, they're not connected in the way people think. In fact, if you go to the wrong places, you can get spat upon by Hasidic Orthodox Jews, and it's really repulsive. And they've got all these new people out there working the front lines when Bibi's out there. And so they're attacking these other people that are good people. And it's always the same thing. They're just recycling the same wars, the same disputes. It gets money. It's a money-making machine. It's real clear. That's what I see. You know, maybe LB's off the thing there.
Well, I'm going to ask.
No, I'm back.
Yeah, go ahead. Give us your thoughts about Dershowitz saying Lieberman's last words were warning Democrats that if they abandon Israel, they're going to lose a Jewish vote, which I've likened to a drug king saying, if you don't oppose the drug laws, you're going to lose the MS-13 vote. I find this despicable, LB.
My grandma was from the old country, and she said never trust a Jew. That's the bottom line. That's the rule I basically take or live on.
Is it all genetic? Is it that, you know, they've been given the boot out of over 100 countries, LB? I mean, there's a horrible story here. I mean, there's a history. This is world history. This is an anti-Semitism.
You know, there's good and bad people in every group, you know, political or otherwise. So I do try to take that into consideration. But there's a default rule that you just mentioned that you liked him back a few years ago, but now he's changed his mind. There's a rule in the Bible that says you shall know them by their
deeds. Yeah.
So here you go. And they've covered it up pretty well for the last 150 years in America.
Hey, not to slam Alan Dershowitz. He did make a comment about the jab and said that there was nothing in the law that says that we were protected from taking the shot. I disagree. Real simple.
Yeah.
A jab is a stab. If a guy tries to stab you, you do what you do in self-defense, like any other knife or projectile.
It was a violation of a right to privacy, control of our bodies that required informed consent. That Dershowitz made that statement infuriated me, John.
Oh,
that
perfect.
Was so grotesque. And that once again tells you the guy's not all there, that there's something seriously compromised. He's got a sickness that like a cancer here, and it's Judaism, Zionism. It's a disgrace. It has come to an apex right here with the United Nations, with Dershowitz making stupid statements, with attacks by the State Department on for being anti-Semitic, for being critical of Israel when Israel is committing genocide. It cannot be more blatant or obvious than that. LB.
Yeah, they're responsible for the genocide in America, too, and bringing these people in here is part and parcel of it. You know, Biden said years ago in the 80s, you can see the clips of it on YouTube, you can find them. He said he was a sellout puppet back then. And he also said he's a Zionist. He admits it openly. So, you know, like I said, there's good cop, bad cop, Zionist measures going on right now.
John, you were trying to show something there. Go ahead, tell us what it is. John, tell us what you were trying to show.
I was trying to call Alan Dershowitz's office, but the mailbox is full.
Oh, I don't know.
If he had answered the phone, I would have asked him to come on right now just to show you what I had up on the thing there. I don't know if you could see it or not.
Yeah, Alan M. Dershowitz, attorney, and he got his phone number. I see it. I can actually read it. His mobile phone number right there, John. I don't know. That maybe we do a lot of phone calls.
I don't screw around.
Yeah, yeah.
I call him up, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, I want to shift the topic. I mean, we've pretty much reached the point with regard to genocide in the UN and the U.S. and Dershowitz and the treachery of the United States of Israel, no longer of America. At this point in time, we cannot deny our government is full-on Zionist, that Bibi Netanyahu is calling the shots. No one who cares about America is in charge of the American government. It's a disgrace. Well, the new topic is the Epoch Times reporting Biden's greenhouse gas emissions rule for vehicles struck down by a Texas judge. Judge James Hendricks said the Biden admin lacked the authority under law to impose gas emission rules. I love this. A judge in Texas struck down a Biden administration rule on March 28th. That required states to measure and report the greenhouse gas emissions from any vehicles used in the national highway system. The rule was issued by the U.S. Department of Transportation Federal Highway Administration in 2023 as part of Biden's efforts to slash carbon emissions in half by 2030. Specifically, It required state transportation departments and metropolitan planning organizations to both measure their transportation-related emissions on the U.S. highway system and set their own emission reduction targets. Additionally, a measure required state DOTs and MPOs to report biannually on their progress in meeting these declining targets. FHWA would also assess the state progress toward achieving them. Texas sued the DOT in December, arguing the agency lacked legal authority from Congress to enact a rule, and it violates the Administrative Procedure Act. In his ruling, Judge James Hendricks of the U.S. District Court for the Northern District of Texas agreed, stating that the Biden admin lacked authority under the law to impose a greenhouse gas emission performance measure. When a regulation attempts to override statutory text, the regulation loses every time. Regulations can't punch holes in the rules Congress has laid down, the judge wrote, citing a previous case, DGV Garland. That is what occurred here. The DOT's 2023 rule attempts to override Section 150C3's clear limitation of authorized performance measures to those that track the physical condition and efficiency of the interstate and national highway system. The judge, appointed under President Donald Trump, wrote, and I celebrate this completely appropriate decision. I think this is going to gut the whole effort to, you know, force green energy on the United States, where the electric vehicles have been a catastrophe that is only growing worse. LB, your thoughts?
The whole law system is communist, as I call it. The whole agency system is extra special law created by the 14th Amendment. So everything they're doing is based on the consent of the governed. Everyone's voting for this. And it actually says it's a crime to vote in Section 2 of the 14th Amendment. So everyone's a criminal. They just don't realize it. It's unfortunate that they don't listen. I've been telling people this for 25 years. And they can't believe it, how evil this whole thing is. And I be honest, I don't pay much attention to these people, because I know what I know, and you know, I'm stuck in that mode. And I have a saying that says, forget what they're doing, let's do what we have to do. And that's exposing the system. They even have a statute to challenge us on, you know, in the judicial portion of the code. But no one uses it that I'm aware of.
Is it the problem
with 18 U.S.C. Section 4?
No.
18 U.S.C. Section 4, criminal code, is if you're a public official, like we were kind of chit-chatting back and forth about a judge, for instance, you tell a public official, a judge, a law enforcement official, a U.S. attorney, a congressman, senator, or president about a violation of law, especially anything that's federal or whatever right now, mm-hmm. and they fail to take action, they are then guilty and complicit, and they've committed a felony. 18 U.S.C. United States Code, Section 4. I think me and Scott Benner are probably the only ones that quote it. I quote it all the time. Not to mention 18 U.S.C. 2381, high treason. You know, 18 U.S.C. 201, taking bribes. And I've reported stuff like that. But people don't care. They don't listen. They're just
they don't listen. The thing is, they work off this gray area. I say there's two constitutions. There's the one that's noted as Constitution for the United States, the United States being an adjective, and the Constitution of the United States, which is the 14th Amendment system, and it's a special state under Article 4, Section 3. So everyone, you know, they play this area, the two constitutions, and people don't understand that. And basically, in Section 4 of the 14th Amendment, they can't talk about it.
Is that kind of like the commercial or the sovereignty thing?
Yeah, there's a lot of truth. But like I said, when I came out with my book in 1999, all the disinformation started to fly.
There you go.
Even in the 1990s, when I got into this movement, for lack of better words, there was disinformation then, but it got worse when I spilled the beans. You know, I've often said there should have been a society of these type people back the day after the 14th Amendment was put in place, but there hasn't been and hadn't been because the disinformation of the upper echelon of operatives is so strong. And, of course, you've heard the terminology or the saying that those who win the war write the history.
Is that also referred back to the old constitutional thing about 1871, the Republic, and they're trying to claim, like, Trump is 19th president?
That's nonsense.
Yeah, of course it is, yeah.
That was a deterrent.
Like that all the time.
That was a deterrent to get him away from the 14th Amendment is what it was. It's all disinformation. Act 1871 was just a municipal act to control D.C., you know, the inner workings of their police department, et cetera, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
It really didn't mean or do anything. The 14th Amendment is the problem.
LB, we may or may not hit a hard break. I don't know. For reasons of late, it's not been showing up here on Revolution Radio. Either way, I'm anticipating opening a phone line. But first, I'd like for you to tell us about your book and your blog. Tell us about your book and your blog, and we'll continue our conversation with or without the break.
Okay. My book I wrote, like I said, in 1999. It was kind of a bridge edition of what I had wrote after I did my own research. I stopped listening to the people in the movement in 1996 or so, did my own research, and it only took me a couple of years to really figure out what was going on after I stopped listening to people, and used the law that the judges referenced and stuff like the Law of Nations and whatnot as reference instead of listening to the courts. Even Judge Bork said at one time he was nominated for the Supreme Court and lost, and Biden, oddly enough, was on that committee. But he turned him down for reasons, obvious reasons. But he said no one in law school studies the Constitution. They study what the court said about the Constitution. And that gets back to what I said about Section 4 of the 14th Amendment, that they can't talk about it. They speak with a forked tongue in the sense that, you know, they're talking about the new system. And they get you can go into court cases and see them hinting about what's happened, but they never give it to you in black and white. It's always vague.
That sounds like the Freemasons doing their secret handshake.
Yeah, all these judges, for the most part, are Freemasons.
There you go.
Yeah, so the whole thing's, you know, controlled by these people, and it dates back to, you know, the Israelites. And what happened with Egypt and the pharaohs and whatnot. One of the books I cherish a lot is Tupper Saucy's Rulers of Evil. And people should really read that book. Tupper passed away a few years ago. But before he did, when I wrote my book and started People's Awareness Coalition, I had a chance to correspond with him a bit. I wish I would have got to know him better. But this movement is so fractured, based on disinformation, and I call them operatives and opportunists. The operatives put out this disinformation, and unfortunately, these people that want to be God, you know, they're God's gift to the world, take that information and spread it as disinformation or bad information. And I've been dealing with that for 25 years. It's sad. And like I said, social media is just ripe for controlling the problem or, you know, perpetuating the problem.
Does that come from any particular group in particular? I was trying to make a comparison because Uncle Adolf, I joke about that.
Yeah.
That's where he kicked out the Jews because of usury. And a lot of people get that.
Well, usury, yeah, that's all part of this. You mentioned the money that could be given to Americans to survive on. There's a clause in the Constitution that says the states must pay their debts in gold and silver. However, the United States, this is aside the 14th Amendment, the United States can do things on credit. There's a red flag right there.
Wow.
So what they did is they bankrupt the states and made them pay their debts before the 14th Amendment even, in gold and silver, so they could collect the gold based on whatever the United States wanted to do with credit. It's a, you know, it's destined to fail.
That's another reason they supposedly killed Kennedy.
Because, oh, yeah.
Going on the gold and the silver standard, we had the silver certificate. If you remember that stuff.
Sure. I've got a $5 bill he released. It's called the United States Note.
Yeah.
Bypass the Federal Reserve, which there you is go. A private company.
Exactly.
And the Kennedy debacle in the 60s was the last nail in the coffin before they issued this new civil rights and went into the debt credit system. Of course, we know that Nixon was the one that signed off the gold standard by letting the Federal Reserve just go crazy after that. And that's when people started to get credit cards and go into deep debt, and the United States went into deep debt. Clinton was part and parcel of that. He forced NAFTA and the GATT, you know, treaties forward, which just destroyed America's solidarity in manufacturing. And I remember getting a letter from a representative about my business being threatened by, you know, the works in Congress back in the 80s. And I figured out afterwards, you know, it was based on the NAFTA and GATT treaties and Congress, you know, forcing this new world order, which is wholly based on commerce, which the Zionist faction controls totally.
Do you remember FDR restricted gold possession yes. by Americans in 1933, I think?
Yep.
And then you just reminded me it re-upped again when Nixon got a hold of
right.
it. So they're constantly restricting it. They had to hide gold. I used to work at the U.S. Mint in San Francisco.
Oh, good.
And I shut it down because they were smuggling gold coins back
yep.
in 82. So
yep.
there's always this stuff about they're hoarding the gold. They shut down right. the mint. Then they shut down Fort Knox for a while. And then before 9/11, under George Herbert Bush Jr., then that was the other thing about switching the gold out. I mean, they even put it in a movie. I think it was a Bruce Willis Die Hard movie.
Yeah.
Where they smuggled out the gold, switched it around. Building 7? Come on, Building 7? What's that got to do with the towers? You know, oh, there was just some guys destroying a building at the same time. Joke, right?
Yeah. They always hint in movies, Oh Brother, Where Art Thou? It was written by produced by the Coen brothers. They were just mocking Christians in that movie.
Well, what was the name of it again?
Oh Brother, Where Art Thou?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
99, a great movie, yeah. Very entertaining, but they were just mocking Christians in that and what they've done to America.
You know, that's interesting, LB. That's one of my wife's favorite films. I've seen yeah. it many times, but it never crossed my mind that there was any anti-Christian element to it. George Clooney is so brilliant as a comedic actor.
Right.
She also loves Burn After Reading. It's another Coen film. I mean, Clooney's just some kind of genius at these comedies. But elaborate. How do you see it as mocking Christian values?
No, they talked about miscegenation. That was against Americans' law back in the 1800s. You know, that was part of their law system.
You're talking about interracial marriage.
Correct. And, you know, every time, Mel Brooks did it too in Blazing Saddles. It's another movie where the Jews
yes.
just made fun of Christians. It was total, you know, just made them look like idiots, inbreds. Everyone in that town was named Johnson, for example. I you know, and then he says, "Well, we'll take the chinks and the niggers, but no Irish." You know, that was a call against the or a joke against the Catholic Church at the time. But that was, you know, genocide based on the genocide of America. and the infiltration of the 14th Amendment system. So, yeah, these guys are always making crap out of everything, and no one sees it. As far as Road Brother Where Art Thou,
if no one sees it, LB, then it's not effective, is it? I mean, right. It may be out there, but it's not making a difference. It's like they don't care that there's a 9/11 truth community or JFK researchers who know the score. As long as the public doesn't find out, they might as well not exist. Remember the Kissinger observation, facts don't matter, only perceptions.
Yeah. Well, there you go. He's another Kissinger.
That's another one.
A Zionist, yep.
Of course. Responsible for the deaths of hundreds of millions. I mean, I hate to add up the staggering amount of death that America has caused worldwide, which exceeds that of any of the monsters we salvage, even Adolf Hitler, Joseph Stalin, Pol Pot. We've committed more murders, assassinations, coups, and devastation of nations than they ever combined, by far.
And people don't see it. American pride, you know.
John, I am going to open the line, 608-957-8727, 608-957-8727. We'll continue our conversation. This has been such a rich and complex discussion of controversial but enormously significant issues. LB, I'm just delighted you could join today. There could not have been a better occasion for your expertise to be a part of this conversation.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Delighted. John, give us more of your thoughts.
Oh, I was just thinking on the side note, you know, the influence in Hollywood, and it is controlled by the Jews, not to use a slanderous term or anything, but a lot of these actors, when they came over from other countries, changed their names. So if you had a Jewish-sounding name, even a Russian-Ukrainian, I mean, Natalie Wood. So, I mean, you know, they changed the name. Mila Jovovich, love her. She's a great actress. I was trying to think of this other actor, and they changed the name because they don't want to have a Jewish-sounding name because it'll give away the secret. So they changed it to a very plain, it'd be like saying Rock Hudson or something.
They're cryptos.
Exactly. Cryptos. And you got to have your shekels. And there's a guy named, Trey Smith? He's been talking for years. I monitor him off and on. But he always comes up with this thing about they're coming up with a new shekel with Donald Trump and one of the ancient Jewish leaders or something on the coin, so that it's actually like an ounce of silver. So that if you go to temple or something, you could donate it as an actual currency. You know, I mean, I live next to a Baptist church, and just about another, about 600 yards from me is a temple, but they call it a congregation. Mosque is a mosque, temple is a temple. But I don't know if that's a common thing there. They're calling them congregations now. Are they trying to hide that they're a temple, or it doesn't make sense? So
it might be they're combining all the religions into one. World religion.
Yeah.
They're in a transition right now. That coexist movement, that's just part of Vatican II, which took place in the 60s, the 1960s, which basically said that we're going to combine and accept all religions. And what they were doing is just combining them all into this one world religion, which is the worship of man or Satan. And the dismissal of God or the creator in all things, you know, man's the God.
I see the patterns. You got Israel. Yeah. And I was talking about it last week, I think. I accidentally said the capital. I meant the religious capital, but they got the Jews, the Christians, the Muslims, right. And anybody else that might want to fit in, maybe. But the thing is, it's getting exactly that. And they're combining them. That's why they want the holidays to fall on the same week. Literally, Ramadan, and we got Easter coming up. It's Good Friday right now, Passover and stuff. Mm-hmm. So it's weird, but they don't match up in history. But I guess it goes back to Constantine when he rearranged things for the King James Version. But I don't know. It kind of ties in with what you were saying, right?
Yep. They're working on unification, one world order, one government. You know, they're talking people into passports now, which will lead to one world ID, or, you know, the elimination of borders is part and parcel of communism. Mm. And they've done that with the 14th Amendment. Technically, they did away with the 50 states. And that's my forte, is exposing the destruction of nationalities and countries, which is noted in the Communist Manifesto. And the 14th Amendment basically erased the borders of the states, made one nation. I call it one nation under fraud. And, you know, the nationalities, everyone's a United States national instead of a national of their country, which would be Illinois for me. I allow you to take it back, but no one knows this. This is the crux of my research.
Well, I worked at the border for 15 years, and there was a difference. If you're a U.S. citizen, it's not the same thing as a national. So if I was asked, what's your citizenship? I'm an American national. That means I was born here.
Right.
But yeah, somebody else say, I'm a citizen. Well, how'd you get your citizenship? And maybe they got naturalized, but it hits on the same thing. That's what Biden's doing, exactly that. He's tearing down the borders, letting people come in. And if they go through with a smartphone, I don't use a smartphone, they've already been pre-passed through the fast track, like the Haitians, just pick on a certain group, and they go fast track in. They're in. That's it. So they're going to sit here for years, and they're not documented, no passports.
Right. Well, that's all part and parcel of the communist plan, you know, elimination of borders.
Uh-huh.
And basically, they've done that to destroy the mercantilism, or the, you know, that's what the Communist Manifesto is meant to do, is destroy the middle class businesses and put it in the power of the elite, which you've seen happen over the years as corporations are taken over. And that was another thing that the 14th Amendment did. It gave corporations extraordinary power over people. And the same thing was done in the Roman Empire. So they just repeated history with all this. They're just taking bits and pieces of what worked well.
Do you agree that common law is more powerful?
That is the law system of the state.
Thank you. I just had to say it because I had an attorney. He passed away years ago. He fought a case in court. He used common law, and the judge, he just like threw his hands up. Yeah, there you go. Dismissal. Just like that.
That's it. And it's still, they're doing away with it. For example, one of our people in Ohio brought forward some information, and they're doing away with the common law marriages. They're not recognized by the states under Article 4, Section 3. So they're just slowly killing the Anglo common law that was part and parcel of the Union under the Constitution for the United States. So it's kind of like that old saying, use it or lose it. And people are into this Marxist system, and they're ignoring all the law, and they're going to lose it. And that's what I've been fighting for 25 years, is for people to
I think if you live as a husband and wife, or partner and partner, for what, 3 to 5 years, you're automatically considered a union or a legal contract, or with or without a certificate. Like some people go to Mexico for some reason, go get married, but then they have to have a copy of it, get a translation. I used to do private investigation stuff too, so I know domestic stuff.
Sure.
But it gets complicated because they should have just gone through the drive-through at Las Vegas, or get a regular marriage, file it in court, and be done with it so you don't have hassles later, I guess. But
you know, people just used to stick it in their Bible, you know, get married by a preacher or whatever. And they stick it in their Bible. This, you know, there's no third-party state interaction. Another thing about the movies, if you look at Internet Movie Database, IMDb, you'll notice that they use the Jewish principle of heritage. They'll use the women. They always say who the actor's mother was, but they'll ignore the man, usually. It doesn't make any difference to them.
Huh.
Yeah, the common law, the man is the primary, you know, carries the primary heritage.
Well, that's a good point, because if I married a Jewish girl, either I convert, but if the children, if there's a child born or issue of the union, then they have to be raised Jewish according to their faith, correct?
Right. It gets back to that. They have their own thing going, and they ignore international law. Most, you know, cultures follow the man's head of the household.
Head of the household, yeah.
Yeah.
LB, when I first invited you, I thought we'd be focusing on 5 legal cases that I address in my blog on the demolition of justice in the USA, the first of which was E. Jean Carroll fantasy trial, where a woman who appears to be obsessed with sex has won a staggering $83.3 million verdict against Donald Trump for an alleged defamation for denying her claim that he had raped her at a Bergdorf Goodman store, where she cannot even remember the year of its occurrence. A woman who has been raped, absent rubies, will not only remember the year, but the month, the week, the day, and even the minute the transgression took place. And how could Trump possibly defend himself with an alibi, LB, when we don't even know when this event occurred? I mean, this ought to have been thrown out from the beginning and never allowed to proceed to trial. Your thoughts?
Yeah, the courts are run properly. They have a committee or something look at cases to see if it's even worth bringing to trial, you know, or court to, you know, waste their time. But this is just part and parcel of distraction, in my opinion, to get people to take sides with Trump or Biden and just confuse the issues so the real issues are not brought forward. That's what I believe, and that's why I said, forget about what they're doing. Let's do what we need to do, you know.
But you do agree, surely, this case should never have gone to trial.
Well, probably not. You know,
if you can't even be told the date on which the offense occurs, how can you establish an alibi? He might have been playing golf. He might have been in London. Who the hell knows?
Right. So a judge should look at exculpatory evidence, and the prosecutors never bring that forward. They hide it, which is unethical, but lawyers are lawyers. They do what they do.
That's almost like the Kavanaugh hearing. Remember that one?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
And then Dianne Feinstein brought that person in. I can't remember the squeaky voice. What's her name? And it was outrageous. And I'm going, you might as well bring up the Bill Cosby case 30 years later. Mm-hmm. And they went after him. But they're targeting him anyway because he was one of the richest blacks that was going to buy out one of the networks or something. But, yeah, I keep thinking about the Kavanaugh hearings, even back to Thomas. Chief yep. Justice Thomas as well.
One of my favorite parts of the Kavanaugh hearing was Lindsey Graham asking Kavanaugh if he could be bipartisan or would be bipartisan in court cases. And he said, no, I don't even vote. He goes, and Lindsey Graham goes, interesting. So that was one hint by the people that run things that they know voting's a crime.
That's such crazy. Because even Ketanji Jackson
most people are going to be floored to hear you say that. Please elaborate. What do you mean voting is a crime?
It says it right in the 14th Amendment. It says if you parse it out and use the syntax, it says the right to vote is denied except for participation in rebellion or other crime. The rebellion refers to Plank 4 of the Communist Manifesto, the rebellion of doing away with the borders and all this new law system. And if you're voting for it, you consent to it. And it's a crime. And it was targeted for the Anglos because America was Anglo. It's in congressional records, it's a fact, and the blacks were used as tools, but the slavery issue was used as a tool to destroy what once was.
That's almost like an act of treason, then.
Yeah, it's total treason. I wrote an article back in the 2000 called "Treason by Design," and it's excellent. And people in law schools have picked up on it. and some of the students are writing their thesis papers on the 14th Amendment. They actually, you know, I'm not a lawyer. I never went to law school, but they're referencing
well, that. That would fit paper. The 18 U.S.C. 2381 for criminal code, but
It's kind of different. The United States takes care of itself, you know. If you go and look at the constitutions of the states, I think I only found one in the East that talked about treason. They kind of omitted, even Wisconsin omitted the Second Amendment in their constitution. I went to high school with a guy that actually worked as a representative in Wisconsin, and they added a Second Amendment to the Wisconsin Constitution. By the way, as far as I'm concerned, the Wisconsin Constitution is the first communist constitution. It was Wisconsin got statehood the same year the Communist Manifesto was released.
Well, is Wisconsin a republic or a commonwealth?
No, it's a commonwealth. That's what we're pushing. The commonwealth should be the commonwealth of the people. But the way it's set up under the 14th Amendment, the elite control everything. So that's what we need to go back to, is a commonwealth system under the republics of the states. That's what needs to happen.
Yep. LB, I must be slow in picking up, but how do you characterize Wisconsin's constitution as the first communist constitution among the 50 states? Please elaborate.
Yeah, there's one section in there that says you don't have to be a citizen. You can be an alien, which to me back then, before the 14th Amendment, meant anyone from a different state could come into Wisconsin and own property.
Wow.
That's dead wrong.
Look at what the Chinese are doing right now.
Yeah, exactly.
I've told people about this. If you own more than 49% of an interest, like a bank in Texas was an actual case, McAllen, because the cartel bought the bank, they could launder their money. Chinese are buying at places like Costco, Long Beach, some other case recently where they bought up stuff in another state. They're not allowed to buy up and have total controlling interests.
Yeah, but they're gaining this property on adverse possession based on the 14th Amendment. It's not the Republican form of government that's guaranteed by the Constitution. So all this land could be contested as being an adverse possession, but you're looking at big problems with that.
What do you call that, a special word? For something takeover.
It's a takeover. Yeah, it's a covert takeover.
Yeah.
But it's all unconstitutional. Or, you know, there's constitutional things that we take, but no one thinks about this stuff. Dershowitz sure isn't going to talk about it. Sorry to commandeer your show, Jim.
No, I wanted you on to present your views, LB. Yeah. Why you're here, and you're doing a wonderful job of it, and I couldn't believe the coincidence of having you on at the same time this catastrophe is going on with the United Nations, Israel genocide, and the U.S. in effect demolishing the international order that it had invested so much time and effort in creating post-World War II through the U.N. Charter and international law, which is now a shambles. I am shocked by what has happened here. And the United States has disgraced itself. It has sold out. And our government is no longer deserving of respect. In fact, mockery of the United States is taking place worldwide, even on Saturday Night Live.
Another Jewish program.
Not Saturday, not SNL.
Tell us, LB, go ahead, elaborate on that, too.
What's his name? Lorne Michaels? He's a Jew.
Yeah.
What else needs to be said?
Well, I mean, I've enjoyed an awful lot of the sketches and so forth.
Of course.
Saturday Night Live. I haven't watched it of late.
Well, I haven't either because it's gotten horrible.
The original cast was so brilliant, so sensational. It was just a joy. Tell us, elaborate. Go ahead, LB.
I guess
your opinions. I want them.
It's just digression of America as it was, you know. I can't say, you know, I basically said it. It's going to happen. Just like Dershowitz, you know, changed his colors. The truth is going to come out. You know, the truth is going to take over of what's really happening. You know, it's a synagogue of Satan's ruling the United States now. It's out of the bag, so to speak. The mask is off.
I think it is. I think the mask is off. I don't think anyone can deny now that this is the United States of Israel, that we have a Zionist government, that they could care less even about the United Nations and international law, which were so much creations of the United States and of which we were justifiably proud with certain misgivings here and there. John, go ahead. Give us your further thoughts.
No, I was thinking about that as you were talking. It's really critical because, as you guys said something about the United States of Israel, I was thinking ISIS.
Right.
ISIS. Who created ISIS? Oh, some guy, Obama, CIA connected. Because we can't steal the money, or they can't, if they don't have a boogeyman, and they always come up with a boogeyman of some sort. And then you get pictures of our favorite guy you mentioned earlier, Lindsey Graham and John McCain, years ago, meeting with the Taliban or Hamas or ISIS or whatever group you want to pick this week, and they're giving them money. Oh yeah, we're going to give you whatever you want. Pallets full of $100 bills with Ben Franklin on it, and ammunition and guns and all kinds of equipment.
Yeah,
just like that. And Biden pulls out of Afghanistan, leaves it all there. What, $85 billion worth, I think.
He just gave Israel $3 billion, I think, the other day again.
Yeah, I mean, it's just like, yeah, just put it on your transfer account, zip zip, and it goes right to their account.
Yep.
You know, Bibi's probably got a gold platinum card somewhere. There's your shekels joke, but
yeah.
It's unbelievable. I mean, if people don't see this, they're too busy doing the other thing. You know.
Well, that's what the distractions are all about.
Tax slaves.
Yep. You know. There's the slaves.
Reiterate your blog, The Jurist, where we can find it, and your book before we part today. Please reiterate.
Yeah. Bing has been very good for the search engines. Of course, Google is kind of weak because I've been targeted by these people a long time ago.
They're controlling it. They're controlling it.
They control Google for sure. So if you go on Bing, for example, and just type in LB Bork or LB Bork blog, that's B-O-R-K, you'll find just loads of stuff. And then for the website and my book, it's hard to find that, but if you search anything that's related to my work, you just put in Pack and Law, PACINLAW. And that stands for People's Awareness Coalition. We're the only lawful political action committee. Because we work without the United States.
Yeah, I just pulled it up on DuckDuckGo.
Yeah, that works pretty good too.
Yeah, they're pretty good. They're not controlled like other search engine.
Jugal?
Yeah.
Jugal.
Say it again. Jugal?
Jugal, yeah.
You got it, LB.
This
has been sensational, LB. Let me say, I can't thank you enough for joining today. The timing was exquisite, not by plan or design, but by virtue of the historical efforts over which we ourselves have no control. John, you want to add a few words about LB?
Oh, no, I'm getting along fine. I mean, we're hitting it off. It's the same stuff, and he's saying it very well. We're going to talk later off the air, of course, hopefully, and then make more connections. But yeah, I just pulled up his site, and he's got the LinkedIn account as well.
Oh, that's yeah.
And preparing.
I haven't been working that. That's my goal, to work that, because basically that's the LinkedIn is the jobs platform.
Yeah, I've tried it for years, but people just want me to join in, or they want to join me. And I said, well, it's just a networking thing.
Yeah.
I haven't actually accomplished it, because what they're doing is you're sending your information to them. And I say, here's my email. they don't respond, and they want to use a third party to communicate. Mm. I don't do that. I'm ex Secret Service. I don't do third party conduits to communicate to a client or potential mm-hmm. business contact. But it's kind of weird.
It comes up on Google, but it says yeah. this page not available.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, they've done that to me. Manipulated
already.
They buried people who were in this coalition years ago.
There's one, Anavon Wrights.
Oh, she's an operative.
Oh, I get it. Red Amendment, dual system, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, she badmouths me in that. But we had one of her people come over to our group, or our organization, whatever you want to call it, recently, and he can't say enough bad things about her. She's an operative.
Got it.
Yeah.
Or she's a troll or an infiltrator, agitator.
Yeah. They take my work and twist it around.
Of course. Yeah. There's a good one on a podcast, The Fact Hunter.
He's honest. But like everyone else, it seems like they have me on their program and they don't have me back on because the stuff's so radical. I had one woman that's been following me for years, and she said she wouldn't put up one of my blogs because 99% of Twitter is pro-Trump. And I was
exactly.
It's unfortunate, but they don't want to lose their friends, which I can appreciate. You kind of throttle things so you don't get in trouble. But it is what it is.
There's another one for Pack-in-Law. It's got your email address, lb@packinlaw.us. Is that a good one?
Yeah, it's a good one.
Cool.
I have my Gmail account, but I've had my technical people and stuff just complain about them because they block everything. I mean, if you don't belong to their club, which is totally if you use Gmail for commerce and stuff, they'll let you through. But if you're trying to spread truth, they'll block it.
Yeah.
Well, LB, you can anticipate you're going to be invited back here. I can't thank you enough for the superb presentation today.
Thank you,
John, for joining. Meanwhile, everyone, spend as much time as you can with your family, your people you care about. We do so much more.
Thanks, LB. Thanks, Jim.
Thank you. Nice to meet you, John.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio.
Join me and the Brian Ruse Show on Revolution Radio, Eastern Standard Time, every Tuesday night from 6 to 8. We talk about the four most vital things, in my view, affecting all of humanity. Number one is UFOs and aliens and their agenda for the advancement of humanity. Number two is the Jewish establishment's control over all aspects of human civilization. Number three, the truth about Adolf Hitler, how he was the opposite of what we've been told. Number four is advanced ancient global civilizations. Join me on the Brian Ruse Show, Tuesday nights from 6 to 8 on Studio B on Revolution Radio.
Industrial Complex podcast here on Revolution Radio, Studio B, every Wednesday, 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern Time. Get fit, empowered, physically, mentally, and spiritually.
My name is Mr. Rowe. I am the host of Reality Extraction, Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. I utilize logic, intellect, and magic to methodically autonomize, vivisect, analyze, examine, study, scrutinize, and extract an essence of reality from a fog of illusion and confusion.